outside, I'ma tell you why. Another devil in disguise when you can see the evil in my eyes. I got nothing to hide except this body unidentified, but I'ma take a closer look inside. Autopsy reveals that I do not feel this way inside. Thought I had it under control, but that was nothing but lies. And now I'm terrified, peeking through the blinds. But much to my surprise, I'm stone cold fine. Everyone thinking I'm lying. I'm telling you people I'm fine. I'm licking the butt up and tell me shut up, and everyone's horrified. Now they're all in a state of mind that no one can really describe. All I can taste are butterflies and knives. You forced my hand when you left me with no other choice. You spoke the words, but I didn't recognize your voice. I wish you would understand this isn't the way I intended to be. Baby, you brought out the villain in me.
Beautiful, I think I'm wonderful, but I'm a little too cynical. Yeah, you're out of my league, you're better than me, but that's not too hard to see. Now don't ignore the cipher while I turn it to a melody, a deadly symphony of all your nightmares and dying dreams. I just want you to see the protector in me. Gotta be hard to believe I'm not a disease, we're just a dying breed. Must be hard to see with all the shadows that follow me. Crystal clear intentions are acknowledged entirely. I loved you from a distance, cause I know you would never speak to me. You weaved it all so carefully and right there in front of me. Your essence is perfect, an image I can't contain. I'm in love with the pain, that's insane. Put me away.
You forced my hand when you left me with no other choice. You spoke the words, but I didn't recognize your voice. I wish you would understand this isn't the way I intended to be.
Local media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall.
Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving tropics of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri, AltRockRadio.ca in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, RootRootRadio.com on the beaches of San Diego, California, XRPRadio.co.uk, across the pond in Birmingham, United Kingdom, and right here in the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania, with our two red lights, BillDezine.com. My name is Bill. This is the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 583. This one has been interesting, and we just went live now. We had an emergency that rescheduled a guest, and then he had an emergency. So we're on to Plan B, and Jay Asadi and Caleb Strauss
are
bailing me out tonight.
Hey, man, glad to be of service, you know what I mean? Absolutely happy to be here as always.
So they are members of First Angel Media, like myself. And I believe neither one of them are in the Pittsburgh area.
Nope.
Not close enough, though.
Where are you at, Jay?
I'm in Newcastle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm right there.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
And Caleb is in Texas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good old Texas.
Okay.
So what we're going to do a little bit is usually when we have First Angel Media people here on the Pennsylvania Rock Show, by people, I mean Jonna, you get to hear from the boss lady. Now you're going to get to hear from people that are out there doing their thing as both musicians and part of First Angel Media that aren't either Jonna or myself. So there may be some other people popping in and out as we do this. Maybe John the American Hill Jack Lane will pop in. I sent him a link. We'll see if he joins us.
Come on in.
But
anybody, everybody.
So Caleb was recently on Three Questions and a Song as MCNZ.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That is my other podcast. You can check that out by going to buildthescene.com. So we're going to pause on him first. We're going to talk to Jay for a little bit.
Okay.
So, Jay, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do as a musician?
Right now, as a musician, you can see I'm crammed up in a closet / office space / storage room. But, you know, this has become like my office. So, basically, I started my own independent label, Dark Mafia Entertainment, LLC. And I've been recording at home due to the pandemic and everything like that. So, I record. I'm not so much on engineer. But, you know, I do all that kind of stuff and then handle my my label and stuff. So, and I was in a movie, small little role. So, you know, I do it.
Oh,
all.
Cool. What movie were you in?
I was in the Steel Man movie. So, you know, blessed with the opportunity, had some music that was in there. So, you know, just like I said, I've been just exploring my options.
So you are a hip hop artist.
Yes, sir.
We've had a few hip hop artists here on the Rock Show.
But you got me as a rock, so I don't know. Maybe I'm a rock star. I don't know. You know what I mean? I just make music. I let you label it. You know? As long as you don't put garbage in front of it, we all right. That's
it. You might be the next Kid Rock.
Hey,
hip-hop, rock, country.
Hey, whatever. You know, he gets checks, so, you know.
That's right.
That's what matters to me. You know, get fans, you know, be successful. That's it.
All right, so let's do an MZNZ introduction, and then we'll talk about what you guys each do for First Angel Media.
All right, cool. So, do you want to talk about me, or do I have to talk about me?
You get to talk about
me. I get to talk about me? Okay. Well, I'm Caleb Strauss. I am sometimes known as Legion on stage. I am the lead singer and songwriter for the band MZNZ. We play experimental industrial metal. But we really mix a lot of genres together, actually. We use a lot of, I would say the thing that kind of unifies it all is it's cinematic, you know. We use a lot of lounge elements, a lot of electronic elements, a lot of hip-hop elements, actually, because I listened to hip-hop before I listened to metal as a kid. And we just kind of put it all in a blender, you know, kind of the way that bands like Faith No More and Mr. Bungle have done. But it's primarily based in rock. I also sing for a band called Skeletal Shroud. I'm also a solo artist. I write for First Angel Media, and I'm also a freelance actor and director and writer. And sometimes I sleep.
CJ, he fits right in.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, I can relate to that. Sleep is valuable.
It is.
It's essential. I can't sleep. I always feel like I got something to do.
I know. And I always, like, you know, shoot awake. The frustrating thing is, you know, it's like the cliche is like we shoot awake at 2 or 3 in the morning. We have an idea. We got to get it down so we don't forget it when we wake up at like 11 or whatever, you know. But then the problem is I'll sit there, you know, and I'll get like halfway through writing down what was in my head and I will start falling asleep at my desk. So I'll get back and I'll go lay in bed and just burp. And I'll cycle through that for about an hour, finally fall back asleep.
I'm going to do a quick intro of what I do at First Angel Media because I really don't talk about it very often. So I am actually the vice president My two main jobs that I tell everybody are to make sure the website is running and to keep Jonna calm. I also dabble in a few of the other things that go on the site. You can find the occasional article written by me. You can find photos by me. You can find these video podcasts on the website as well. I kind of am one of those people that's like a jack of all trades and not great at any of them. I know enough to be dangerous
and get a lot done.
That, yeah, there's definitely a lot that does get done.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to consider yourself great. You know, I'm on here.
Exactly.
I like it.
Feel good about yourself.
I was telling Jay the other day, I was like, listen, before you came across First Angel Media, you probably never heard of Build the Scene. I like to be behind the scene of what I do. And they said, and most people probably, when they find Build the Scene, they're like, oh, who runs this? And nobody really knows unless I tell them. Right. But with that being said, Build the Scene gets about 250,000 hits a month from about 38,000 unique IP addresses, which would be like 38,000 people.
Yeah.
So
yeah. You have a knack for finding the time. That's why you said feel good about yourself. You got me on here. Yeah.
You like the Wizard of Oz, man. You're behind the curtain.
It's funny that you say that. I used to tell people that.
Hey, but you know what? Everybody, hey, listen. Everybody knew who the wizard was, man. That's why I was trying to see him.
In the end.
Yep. In the end.
In the end, maybe.
Yeah.
When I first started the Pennsylvania Rock Show, which was in 2004, to give you an idea of the history of this thing. I used to tell people that I was going to be the next Suge Knight, except on the East Coast and rock.
Okay.
It hasn't quite gone that way, but I still like it.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. I'll, yeah, that's your goal. I know what I'm trying to achieve. You know what I mean? Like I just look at the end results. So, you know, like, I don't know what, if you was looking at as far as the glory period of that time or the gold age of that time or the outcome, but I just
really, the real goal was always to get musicians heard that wouldn't be heard. And I well surpassed what I thought I would ever do.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just the numbers I threw at you. I mean,
I used to be
happy when I was close to 1 million hits in a year. Now I'm getting 250,000 hits a month.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, nowhere near where I'm at, but you know what I mean? That's what's up, man.
And
hey, I'm humble.
And before we get too much further, you know, First Angel Media is listed there .com at the bottom of the video. But why don't you each take a moment to mention where you can be found online so we can get you some hits as well.
Go ahead, Jay.
I could be, well, you mean you want me to type it in there?
No, you can just talk.
Oh, listen, I'm streaming on all platforms. You can just Google Jay Asadi. You know, like I said, everything's going to platform. If you go into my Instagram, which is jasadi100, that's jasadi100. So I had to think real quick. But my link on there, Linktree, is right on there. You get all my music. So, you know, I'm easy to find. You know what I mean? So appreciate you.
Mad Clock's here!
we can't hear Mad Clock. Wait, try speaking again.
We can see his beautiful face.
There it is. What's up, guys?
There we go.
What's up, dog?
What's going on, yo?
Yo. What's up, Nate? Mad Clock, I'm sorry.
It's all good, homie.
Yes, sir.
What's up,
man?
Okay, Caleb, go ahead and mention your stuff, and then we'll let Nate catch up.
Oh, right. Yeah. Website. Sorry. I forgot where we were. I am at mznz.com. That is mzyenzy.com. And there's also a link on that page to my solo stuff as well. But yeah, that's my band's website, and all my shenanigans can be found there. And that's pretty much where that's my headquarters right now. I'm pretty centralized. And I'm on all the streaming platforms, but you can find all those links on the site. I'm on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, all that stuff. Caleb Strauss and MZNZ are both on everything. So,
all right. So, Nate, or Mad Cloud. Let me try that again. Mad Clock. Cloud. That's it. That's your new name, Mad
Cloud. I'm changing it now.
Mad Cloud.
Yep.
All right, so Mad Clock, what we were doing here was they kind of introduced themselves and listed websites and places they could be found. And then we're going to move on and talk about what each of you do at First Angel Media.
Gotcha.
So if you want to kind of talk about yourself.
Oh, I hate doing that. It's terrible. Oh, no. Yeah, I'm Mad Clock. I'm a writer for First Angel Media. I'm also a musician. Don't consider myself a rapper. I do more outside than rap. You can find me at madclockmusic.com, Facebook.com/madclockmusic, Instagram.com/madclockmusic, and just about anywhere else on any major platform you find all my music.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you some questions based on First Angel Media, not you as musicians.
Okay.
So each of you can, I'm not going to say, well, this one's for Jay. If you feel like you have an answer, you can interject. So with your, first of all, how did each of you become involved in First Angel Media? I mean, at least Mad Clock is in Pennsylvania. You guys aren't here. Although neither is Jonna. I don't know if people know that.
Jonna's right. West Virginia. Yeah.
And I kind of wish he was here because I don't remember. How did I get wrapped up into this? I don't remember.
I think it got in through the modeling stuff because we found your music and you'd suggested you probably wanted to model because we had that first shoot over at Bella's house.
Oh man, yeah. Listen, man. Like I said, any opportunity, I try to jump on it. So yeah. You know what I mean? But I'm glad we definitely did meet. I just was sitting there like, damn, how did we meet?
Yeah, I think we physically met in person at the first photo shoot we had, the first fam photo shoot of just all the models we're building the modeling agency, the modeling division. But after that, I'm not aware of how John actually found you, but she has a way of just like sucking people in, you know?
Well, yeah, man, that's what's up, you know?
She's got her own gravity, man.
She's her own planet. She's her own planet. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. How did I get? No. I think. Well, I don't remember how, but I remember. It was Joe Raven. Was a member of one of, or maybe both of my music groups on Facebook, and he would, you know, he'd always post his reviews for First Angel Media, and I always enjoyed his reviews and the music he reviewed, so I sent him MZNZ's third album version because it was just about to come out, and he reviewed it, gave it a real nice review, and then Dennis reviewed my second solo record, Entries, which is like a collaboration record, and then I don't know, I just kind of got, I fell in love with it as a platform. I love what it does for artists. I love that it's run by artists and it's made up of artists, and so I just started sharing everything like a madman, and then was asked to come and write reviews and articles. And I always love writing. Something I got a little bit of background in. So I love doing it. It's a cool way to, you know, it's like Jay said, you see an opportunity, jump. I meet cool people. I talk to cool people. I collaborate with cool people every day of the work week and sometimes weekends. So yeah, just kind of a domino effect of instances.
Yeah. Well, I guess, honestly, I do remember the exact moment when Jonna pulled me in. So I signed to Brutal Business Entertainment in October last year, and I was getting kind of new with the group and familiarized with everybody, but I'm kind of a class clown in a way. I like, you know, throwing jokes out. And we had just released the Plagues compilation, which was like every artist on the label had put a song together in a CD, and the, you know, Babes were on the cover and all this. And I'm listening to all the songs and I'm finding all these nuances from all the artists, you know, like sees this, like, you know, teddy bear of a guy, but he's like just mauling the microphone, you know, and find those little things. So I had made this like satire piece of everybody and their music and everybody that was on the record. It was like for Seeds, he says, you know, something about my fragile hands, but he's like this big old tough guy. So I was just making parallels. And it was like every song had a joke tied to it. And I shared it to Pat, and I was like, you know, people get pissed about the, cause I was kind of new to the label, you know. He's like, I think it's hilarious. Like, post it. So I did, and everyone had a good laugh about it. And Jonna commented, and she's like, you know, it's no easy feat, this little post you made. It's actually really good writing. Just letting you know, And I was like, okay, so who are you? And she's like, I'm your new best friend. Guess what you're going to be doing? I was like, I don't know what. She goes, you're going to be writing for me because you're a good writer. That's cool. And I was like, all right. So I signed on and I was kind of it. The first interaction I had with them, I've just gotten around, you know, everybody in the label and shit stuff. And I'd ask Raven.
You have said more words than they have, and they've been on twice as long as you.
It's terrible. I come with a parental advisory sticker, like Jay said. Anyway, I just start bleeping everything. Bleep, mother bleep. Anyway.
Yeah, that bleep is the one I don't want to hear. The other ones will let slide.
Yeah. Anyway. So, Raven Joe had reviewed the Volume of Secrecy for me, and I had seen it, like, you know, similar, been doing reviews and stuff, First Angel. I had no idea who was tied to who and all this. I just saw stuff getting posted, and like, hey, you want to do a review for me? So we talked for, what I was hoping to be a 10-minute, you know, interview. It ended up being like an hour-long chat, and next thing you know, I'm in the company, I'm writing, I'm doing this, talking to Jonna, and now I'm in the editor chat, and now I'm, like, managing stuff, and before leaving for this tattoo convention, Joe and I and Jonna were like, you know, we kind of need like official titles, like as a company, so we can look a little more professional, these people. Apparently mine landed on executive manager. I don't know if I totally live up to that title, but it sounds cool. So we're going with it. I'm head of the writing department, but I'm an executive manager for First Angel Media, guys.
Throw that around like a boomerang, dude.
I know.
Hey, Bill, so you had to give me a little second, right? I just thought. Now, I remember how I got wrapped over first. It was through the Stillman movie. I met Joe at the Stillman movie.
Okay.
I had one on a set. So we had, you know, he wrote an article on my, I think it was one of them. I want to say Joe, I believe it was, or Raven, I'm sorry. I wrote the article on my music. And then that's how we, you know, I got intertwined. Like I said, I'm sitting here. I'm like, yo, how did it, you know?
After so long, you just kind of forget. It's like, oh, well, I'm here now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm already, I wasn't thinking, but I was like, yo, how did we meet? So I had to sit there and, you know, that's what I was doing the whole time. So I'm actually glad Matt Clark was talking because I was sitting there. I was going back to the future.
I am going. We're going to do that. We're going to use the DeLorean, but hold on.
Let's go.
Let's go.
So I'm going to answer my own question. So I had someone suggest that I interview Jonna. And at the time she was doing, basically she was doing photos with a cell phone and she was posting reviews of shows that she went to on Facebook. So I interviewed her. We talked, we did basically what we're doing here and we got off the air and I was like, you know, we do a lot of the same things. We should probably do some stuff together. And eventually I convinced her she needed a website and we got that up and running. And then all you guys started showing up.
Started plucking us from the airwaves and Facebook right. And all that.
You know, my visual of Jonna, the way I imagine it, the way she like sucks people in is like, you know how in the original Willy Wonka, you just see some scenes just like Slugworth just like walks up to the kid, just starts whispering in their ear. You have no idea what you just hear, this like minor key string drone. And it's just like, I just picture her like going up to all of us doing that. Just like one or two people a day. That's how First Angel Media has been built.
Yeah,
I know. And then it's just like as we listen, our eyes just go like, you know, glazed. Cut to writing.
Must write.
cut to, we all have like 15 articles published, and me, Jay, Mad Clock are all sitting here. How did we? How did we get here?
Well, I don't remember. If you go back in the writers' chat group far enough, you'll see how many times I say I hate writing.
Yeah.
But you will find articles that I wrote on the website.
Yep.
Because you're writing. Right. Somehow she manages to convince us that we can do this stuff.
Oh, you're also not a photographer, right, Bill?
That's correct. That's her fault. Well, kind of her fault. Kind she just of. Put the finishing touches on it. I have been taking constant photography for almost 20 years, but I never really had the right equipment. So I was taking photos with like mid-level cameras. They weren't point and shoot, but they weren't DSL DSLRs either. And I would get some compliments, but then I would also get, hey, you probably shouldn't have posted that one. And so I was doing that for a while. And then one day, John, I said, hey, I sent you something. It should be there on, I think it was Friday. And I went out on my front porch, and there was a Canon camera on my front porch waiting for me. It was her backup camera. And she's like, now you're going to use that.
See, and that's how she does that. She just leaves you no choice.
It's never a question. There's always a period at the end of every sentence. It's
it's a statement.
Yeah, it's a statement. Very succinct. Often four words or less. I don't know what altar she has in her house and what magical
voodoo, man.
Things are stacked upon it, but the woman gets things done, man.
I find myself just drawing to this computer. I'm like, all right, well, Jonah has my doll right now. Guess I'm working today.
probably the best thing I've done in recent history for First Angel Media was when we were having trouble with the theme that's on the website.
Yeah.
And I kind of got annoyed with all the questions Jonah was asking. Nobody heard me say that. And
heard to say what?
So I installed a secondary WordPress and put the theme on it and said, here, go play with it.
Hey, I think she told me that story.
Actually. We're just sitting here just, Jonah, man.
Well, she wasn't here to defend herself.
She wasn't here. It's fair game. It's
fair game, man.
Totally fair.
She was invited. Eventually, I told her no at first, and I called her today. I called her today and told her she wasn't allowed to be on. And then when I was struggling to get people to join, I was like, "Hey, you want to come on?" And she said,
"We won't talk about you now. I promise."
She said something about not being camera ready.
Ah, that sounds like her. Yep.
So, let's see. Oh, the DeLorean. So this one is a musician question, but let's say that you come across that DeLorean that everyone is familiar with, and you have to go back in time without breaking the space-time continuum because we don't want to be yelled at by Doc Brown. And you can pick any date in history, go back in time, follow a band around for a whole year just to hang out with them and learn from them, or a musician at all. It doesn't have to be. It can be a solo artist, a hip hop artist, a band, whatever. Maybe a producer or an engineer, someone in the music business. See, I'm editing my questions. who would each of you want to go hang out with for a year?
Oh. Okay, you know what? I think you might have asked me this question on my BTMX interview. And I think my
On the three questions in the song?
No.
Oh, no. No, you're right. I did. I asked.
You asked me in the comments.
Room. I did.
And at the time, it was Prince was my answer. Okay? It's not Prince today. As much love as I still got for Prince, it's not Prince today. I told you it might be a different artist on a different day. No, today, it's The Residents. Because The Residents, not a lot of people know this, but The Residents were actually the first band to wear masks. People are like, Slipknot, Mushroom Head, Slipknot, Mushroom Head. And then some people are like, actually, it was Mr. Bungle. Actually, no, it was none of them. It was The Residents back in the 1970s. Really experimental, kind of industrial tinge, just, I don't know what you call them. They're still around. They have like 90 gajillion albums. They're the one masked band that nobody actually has ever seen maskless. Nobody to this day since the 70s knows who they are. So if I've got a DeLorean and I got a whole year, I'm finding out who the Residents are.
There you go.
I don't want to learn anything musical from them. They're musical geniuses, but that's not what I'm after. No, I just want to know who they are. Could change the world. I don't know. That'd probably have some really bad butterfly effect style consequences if people knew who the Residents were.
Mad Clock or Jay, who would you want to go meet and hang out with for a year?
You can go first, Jay.
We're going back.
Yep, back in time.
We're going back in time. Oh man, I was hoping Mad Clock would talk because I've been.
You still thinking? You still thinking?
All right, but... some of the artists that you know you could learn from.
I know
the whole thing for me was about learning.
That's the thing I want to take too. It's like I've been thinking about who the most influential artists, and that's like even a condensed version of who I would pick out of that group. But it's such a range of genres. Like there's hip hop artists that I would follow, metal. Bob Dylan, even like, let's just talk about that guy for a minute. Okay. So he's kind of like out the bounds of a lot of genres, but still in a lot of them. And his songwriting is impeccable, but nobody wants to admit it because of his voice. Let's all admit it. We all hate Bob Dylan's voice. It's like the worst thing you could probably hear on an airwave. It's an acquired taste to say the least, but the guy's songwriting is just insane. And you know, it's like, was he just really messed up and made those things? Was it purposeful? Was that just what came out of him? You know, but that could be said the same about any artist, really. But I would say another one, and anyone, well, Corey Taylor pretty much led Slipknot, you know, kind of like led the charge for all that. They were a take no crap kind of band. They just did what they wanted to when they wanted to. So, Marcus Hobson, you know, prevailed over a lot of stuff. So I guess Slipknot's inability to, you know, just do what they want without any cost. Bob Dylan's songwriting ability and Hobson's perseverance over everything that he was going for, or, you know, everything he had going against him in his career. Somewhere between those three people, I would learn everything I would want to learn about making myself a better artist, because Slipknot was just wild. They just did whatever they wanted. They would just absolutely auditorily take over anything, doing it their way. And they just, and everyone was like, I mean, it's, who else is, no one else is doing this. We have to watch this train wreck. But it became a multi-million-dollar selling idea that, you know, has lasted 25 some years. Dylan's lasted 50 some years. Hobson's only been around maybe 10 in the limelight, but I mean, he's overcome a lot in his day. So somewhere between the realm of them three people, if I had to pick Dylan just because he's lasted so long, like how do you keep reinventing yourself that many times and survive? You know, he did folk, he did rock, he did country, he did all these things and just kept evolving. Like he survived the eons of time because he kept evolving his image, his tone, his sound to himself. You know, he had like a Christian phase for a while, and I guess the evolution of his career would be something to kind of watch, you know what I mean? But how are you going to encompass everything he did in his career in 1 year? You know, if we only have a year, I suppose. So that is a really hard question. I would have to say at the end of the day, probably Corey Taylor. Follow him around in his nutty ways for a year and just like, how would you even keep up with that?
How would you survive that much? So yeah, laughing.
Surviving, yeah. Laughing, just like...
I mean, he's, dude, every other word out of his mouth is just going to be crying with laughter.
I know. Such a character. Such a hilarious character. He's got such a passion for what he does, too. Like,
yeah,
he's an activist for mental health. He does a lot of charities, you know, and his later years, he's used his opportunity to better, you know, people around him.
Yeah.
I think a point of every artist that gets to that platform kind of comes across like, all right, well, I've done everything I've wanted to. Now, what do I do with those pile of cash? You know, let's just give it back to people and all that.
Yeah. So, yeah. And he's still making killer music, you know?
So, oh, yeah. His solo stuff's hit or miss for me. It's like good, but it's not what I want to hear from him, I guess I should say.
Sure, sure.
Even Stone Sour is kind of like, I mean, they're good, but it's, I want to hear Corey Taylor's Slipknot style. Yeah. Like, you know, I don't know.
I kind of like hearing him explore. You know,
sort of
go all over the place and
all
the like one off collabs and I don't know. Yeah, definitely have a lot of, I don't know, I actually admire everybody you just mentioned. I can definitely see that. Yeah, that's tough.
Oh, even Tech9. Tech9's been around for how many? He did stuff with Tupac back in the day. He's got a record with
25 years.
Yeah, 25, 30 years he's been around. Yeah. He's had four major record contracts and decided eventually, you know what? No, I'm just going to make the biggest underground label anyone's ever seen and be on the Forbes list 5 years in a row.
He knew Tupac. He's been around that long. He's been around long enough
to know Tupac. He did songs with Tupac.
Yeah.
He did songs with Junior Lucas, Hobson, right. Slipknot. I mean, his 2 Chainz, anyone down his list has just made such an impact in music, and Tech9's been a part of all that.
Yeah, for sure. All these people would be on my list.
It's an endless, really.
Jay, are you good or you want me to answer?
Nah, man, I'm sitting here just thinking, man. I probably roll around. With, I would have went back in time. I would have fought Hammer around.
MC Hammer.
Man, listen, man. Dude had it all, lost it all. So I'm gonna watch and see. You know, like everybody talking about handing out money and all that stuff like that. He did that, and yep. they had to lose it all. So yep. you know all that. You know, I'd rather learn from him and learn the mistakes that was made, so I don't make them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Everybody always going there. You wanna. Next thing you know, you ain't left with nothing. You back to square one where you started.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Jay-Z said it best, man. I always quote a lot of Jay's. I listen to a lot of Jay. He said, can't help the poor from one of them. So I got rich and gave back to me. That's the win-win.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some of these songs you can listen to, if you listen to real, you know, go into real hip-hop, as far as like the stuff that I listen to, the game, where they teach you the game. That's what, you know, hip hop about. You listen to Juvenile, the G Code album. You know what I mean? He sits there and talks about, you know, if I can give you everything, I'm gonna be broke. You know, a lot of rappers, artists say that stuff. They talk about, you know, giving everything away. So you got, you know, that's what I would have did. I just would learn from somebody from the business. Cause once you are on stage, what you say, 3 hours or 45 minutes, whatever, however long your set is. You get off that stage, it's back to business. So I'm gonna be around people that's gonna be teaching me the business.
Yep.
Smart.
This is all nice and stuff. But as soon as we turn this off, we looking for, okay, how am I gonna get this music popping, or how am I gonna get this out here, it's back to the business.
Yep. How am I gonna market and brand myself successfully? Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, I'm taking classes on that stuff. That's the stuff that so few musicians want to bother to learn. Yep. You know.
I hate it.
Yeah, I think we all do. I think that's why we're all so resistant, but it's so crucial, you know.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But I hate it. It's the part of the business.
It's like social media, it's never changing. You can have this business model and have this branding idea. Next thing you know, the things that are out there being made the social norm is now your idea doesn't even apply to that. It won't even survive in that market. Now I gotta change it again. Like I'm tired of it, man.
Yeah, you got to be like a week ahead, and you got to be a week ahead every day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's terrible. It's
and while everybody was sitting, I'm listening to how everybody talking about Jonna, but you guys might need that. You know because like I said, she trying to get business handled. That's why she's saying, hey, I need this article done, this, that, and the third.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, you might need that.
Yeah,
so, absolutely.
And she's a master at that. I mean, that's why she gets stuff done. You know, yeah, that's why First Angel Media is what it is.
And she don't give herself enough credit either. I mean, she's not so much doubting herself anymore, but she's like, oh, but you guys. And it's like, we wouldn't be here without you. She pulled every one of us in here, man.
Yep.
And how many opportunities have the four of us had just because of this company on the screen right now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, huge.
Insane.
We're all getting the platform to sit here and talk about ourselves right now.
You know? Yep. Otherwise, I'd be talking to the wall about myself.
Listen, I'm talking from my little cubby hole right here.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was a studio one time, and now it's like, you know, man, it's like everything in here.
The multi-purpose room. Every house has one.
That's what it is. I'm in the multi-purpose room. That's it.
I got a buddy actually called the Anti-Hero. He's a solo artist. He records in his closet too. I mean, it's probably about maybe half of the size of that one, but it has about that much stuff.
I can show you. It's definitely not a closet. It was an office. You
know? Yeah, that looks like that's an actual legit room. Like this is just like he just walks into his closet. He's got the same. I think it's almost the exact same mic setup you have. But he just walks like right into where he changes. Boom, closes the door, and it's like an Iron Maiden, dude. And he just stands there, and just like, but his vocal tracks sound really clean.
Hey, let me tell you something, right? When I first started, the first place I recorded at, you know, outside of a, you know, it was a nice studio, but it was my friend's back porch, man. In the wintertime, I'm talking about you can see your breath outside.
Oh,
you
know, yeah,
make some music, man. You'd be surprised. Absolutely.
I mean, I'm sitting where I record right now. It's like y'all can't see any of my gear because I'm facing it. But this is like my bedroom is my studio. Yep.
You record anywhere now.
Absolutely. And that's nice. That's a nice thing to have. That's a nice thing about being alive right now.
It is, but it's not. And for musicians, really understanding why is why we're all sitting here stuck with the idea of going, why is this not working? Oh, yeah, because literally everybody can record. Everyone's an artist. Yeah. Everyone can rap now. Great.
I agree with you.
But I think the difference is, I think what this shines through is like is people that actually know music. You know what I mean? I mean, know how to like structure a series of notes together into a progression that makes sense and speaks language, and at least understands music on a fundamental enough level to like communicate it on a on an emotional plane. You know what I mean? Not just, I mean, yeah, it's like anybody could do it. Anybody can hop on a computer, put a few layers down, call it a beat. You know what I mean? And it'll sound in tune and in pitch and in key and right tempo and all of that. But this is the difference. If it gets you here, you know what I mean? Not everyone will ever have that. You know?
You know who listens to all that music though?
Mm.
All other artists. Mm-hmm. we can't get fans to listen to that. They don't want that. they want the cookie cutter stuff, man. They want what's already on the radio. That's why cover bands are big, because they want jukebox. They don't want original music.
I disagree with that, man. I just think so about marketing. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Like, yeah, I'm being kind of pessimistic about it, but that's just, you know, the kind of...
But you know...
Pardon me, what'd you say? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Jay. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, right now, we all sitting in our our bedrooms, wherever, but we just sitting where we trying to get out of.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? So, right. Like, this ain't the end result. This is where you start,
right?
You know what I'm saying? This is where you start.
It's true.
You know what I mean? So I don't be minding all that. Like, this is just part of the process. This is where we start. No, I don't care about
yeah,
that.
And I mean, I don't know if I mind it, even if it is that is the case. It's like, you know, one of the things I love about First Angel Media is it's like by musicians for musicians. And I mean, I like one of the things about musicians is nobody appreciates music more than musicians.
Right.
Every single musician has one thing in common. They're a music fan. You know what I mean? So the fact that someone else that may be like interested in our music, purchases our music, supports our music, is also a musician, I don't think that decreases their value as an audience member. If anything, I think it increases it. You know what I mean? Because like me personally, I don't make music for people that want cookie cutter music. I mean, it's like if you want to go shop at the mall, go shop at the mall, but you're not going to find my product there. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
And I think it's like, I would rather have 1,000 people that just bleed what I do. You know what I mean? Than a bunch of people. Yeah, super fan theory. Exactly. It's because like the people, you know, the people that want the cookie cutter stuff, there's also the people that talk over your music when you play it for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a good point, man.
Okay. Let's talk about something else. You're not on my level with music. And it's like, I want people to listen to my music that are on my level with music. You know what I mean? And fans who aren't also artists never will be.
Yeah, they'll never really get it.
No, they never will be, you know?
Listen, I'm the type of person, like, if somebody says, as an artist, you say a line or you sing something that was, like, really impactful as far as lyrical, I'm rewinding the track back and telling somebody, yo, you hear what he's saying?
Same.
Breaking it down.
Same.
You know, that's, like I said, that's a real music connoisseur. That's what I call myself, music connoisseur.
Yep.
I got an ear for that stuff. But if an artist sings a certain lyric or a rapper says or something or whatever, you know, I'm rewinding it. Like, yo, did you hear what they just said?
Ooh, did you hear that?
It blows your mind. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of the reaction I like to get.
Yep.
And not everybody can do that. Even if you got equipment at your house, not everybody has that gift. You know.
This is John, the American Hill, Jack Lane. And when he's ready, we'll
go ahead
in on that.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I have to get up at like 5 a.m., gentlemen, so I'm going to have to bow out of this.
I hear someone talking.
We'll just.
I just heard someone talking about women issues.
That is not what he said.
Oh, I hear woman problems in the house. I thought that maybe that's why you said I need to get on here right away.
No. So let me do a quick introduction. This is John American Hill, Jack Lane. He is the lead singer and frontman of the band The Hellfire Club. He also owns the venue, Island Community Park, also known as the Hill Jack Ranch, which is the home of Rock for Life concert series. And he is coming in here blind. I just said, join us. I was like, join us now. Let's go.
What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing?
He's also the outro voice on both my podcasts. You'll hear him at the end.
I'm trying to keep a low profile.
Well, unfortunately, on every episode, it says your name on the liners.
John, the American Hill, Jack Lane.
All right, so, John, we're talking about First Angel Media. Jay and Caleb since okay. we are both part of First Angel Media, and John is kind of on the fringe. He was there in the beginning. We pull him in every once in a while. He comes in and co-hosts this show.
Yeah, whenever my bipolar is all right, I come in and try to do things. Hey, I'd lie to you guys, but I got two ex-wives and an ex-girlfriend to lie to. I don't have to lie to you. They don't know me.
No.
Don't, Bill. I'm being dead honest.
Takes a lot to hold it together.
Yep.
So,
does.
Just to fill John in a little bit more, Caleb is MZNZ, kind of industrial metal. Jay is a hip-hop artist.
Yes,
sir. Nice.
Nice to meet you.
And John and I have known each other. Wow.
Well, we've known each other for a long time, but we've really became close friends in these last 6-7 years.
Yeah.
Bill used to stand on stage and take pictures of me with chewing my teeth.
Yes. We were talking about that back in the day when my equipment was terrible when I was taking photos.
It's been an evening, man. Let me tell you, we've all just been kind of like trying to find people. And then it's like, it looked like it was going to be nobody. And then everybody's just been in and out. Just.
Oh, okay. So
it's been fantastic.
So what's the discussion? What am I getting caught up on?
Well, I don't. Where are we? We're
just kind of talking about First Angel Media, and then each John person really talked about themselves.
When John first started talking to you and talking to me, heck, that was 2016 or 17? Yeah,
somewhere in there. It's been about 5 years.
I'd come out of Ohio Media School a couple years before that. I tried to help as much as I could. And I feel that, you know, she's got some great people around her and tried to, you know, really keep things going. But John goes through a lot of the same things I do and gets emotionally attached to things and gets broke down. And I feel bad for her and I try to help her. But obviously, it's kind of hard to guide someone when you do it yourself. But I'm really proud of what First Angel has become and the people that she's got involved, not just because it's Bill, too. But, you know, there's a lot of other people. I don't know them as well as I do, Bill. But I feel that, yeah, she has a great basis of doing some of the things that me and Bill always talked about doing. And it's unfortunately, you're up against a lot of things that people don't recognize, I guess. And backdoor political stuff, people that, you know, don't necessarily say support your things, but want you to support theirs. It's a very hard thing. What I learned from going from the music industry, doing all that I did, and going into podcasting, a lot of people say that, you know, we're a community and that we need to stick together, but there's few and far in between of who actually sticks together and helps one another. Even though I don't do as much as I do, should be doing with podcasting and everything, as Bill likes to point out, I try to help everybody even beyond the people I know and give them advice and help them. Savage Multimedia Group out here. I've really took Mike Wendell under my wing and tried to guide him to do some of the things. I get feeling defeated and frustrated. And then when people give me so many compliments, that just makes me just as bad. It's like, well, I'm doing terrible. Then, you know, yeah. So it's the artist in me. Podcasting for me is just as important as writing a song and everything. So I try to make everything that upfront and how do I say it? Just to me,
if you're gonna do, pro.
You want me to just go with my whole thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Try to make it like I always say, pro, positive, real, and original. And it's because there's so many people out there. You got to doing the same thing. If you don't have something that's a little bit above, just like with your hip hop or with your industrial, you got to have something that stands out a little bit. And if you're just doing the same thing, you just, you know, fall into the wayside. You know, there's McDonald's and there's Burger King and there's Wendy's, but you also have, you know, all these other places that do the same thing you don't hear much about, but because they have so much publicity behind them and do the marketing,
He wasn't here 5 minutes ago and he's already on the subject we were talking about.
Because, that's what goes through my mind constantly. You know, even when I'm not doing it, like, I've been working on originals to bring into my band. And I'll sit there, you know, and that's what I did this past weekend. And my birthday was yesterday.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I'm 48. Don't look a day over 60. but it's even when with my writing, with everything that's going on in the world, I'm questioning everything, you know, because, you know, you have cancel culture. You have so many things out there that just, you know, can affect you even when you don't realize it affects you. You know, hip hop gets a real bad stigma behind it. And there's a lot of guys, if you check out our multimedia group, Savage Multimedia Group, they handle a lot of hip hop artists that are really good, but they get a lot of flack, and it's not fair. I really feel it's like industrial, the same thing. I've got friends out here and Two Dead Roses. Those guys are like great, but because it's industrial, everybody looks at it as, you know, some of the in lower level industrial, but it is not. And it's hard to get past that stigma. And just like with us, we're called the Hellfire Club. And, you know, and I didn't even name the band, but we get labeled as, you know, everything from death metal to everything else. And you can go check out our stuff. We're just, dude, I'm a commercial, you know, guy. I just try to make it as commercial as possible and across the board. But, you know, and because, you know, my moniker is the American Hilljack, a lot of people think I do country. And I, you know, it's
well, just, you know, that hat you wear doesn't help.
Oh, the hat I wear, the beard I grow, different times, you know, different things, the way I talk. And I do listen to a lot of country, but it's just, I defeat myself by going against the grain. I can honestly admit that. But I also try to go against the grain so it stands out. You know, when I, you know, in my genre of music, there's guys that I look up to that, you know, I take from them and I put into my own stuff, but then I'm, you know, I try to beef it around and, you know, I get up on stage, like he said, with a, you know, big 10-gallon hat and everything else, everybody's expecting one thing and I try to give them another. So it's, you know, and that's the same thing with hip hop or industrial. If you just go up there looking the same way as everybody else, you just blend in. You know, and it's all in your performance and it's all in how you talk. It's all in how, you know, unfortunately, talent don't mean hardly anything anymore. And it's the saddest thing for me. Like, you know, even with Bill, I'm not blowing smoke up. Bill is one of them. He don't give himself enough credit. He always tells me, I think Bill has come a long way since I first started listening to him in 2004, you know, and till now. And I think that he deserves way, way more listeners and way more respect for what he does. But because Bill is not like me, he won't go out there. We go to shows and Bill, hey, go talk to that guy. You know,
I made him go interview somebody for his podcast instead of me doing it.
Yeah. Go interview. I'm like, I don't have anything prepared. Go, you know, and it's like, it's sad. It's sad to me because talent don't mean anything. And there's people that are terrible at this, terrible at podcasting, terrible at hip hop, terrible at industrial, that get so much attention just because they have a little bit of money or someone pushing them. And that's the saddest part to me. There's no such thing as respect for talent anymore. And I get frustrated myself in, you know, I don't know how you guys feel. And I've rattled on now for, I can see 7-8 minutes, so someone else talk.
I'm surprised you stopped.
Yeah, I'm in agreement.
Yeah.
I think, like, nowadays, the tactic to get recognized for your talent or your craft is to cause controversy.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in a sense where it's not where you're looking at somebody's life, where you just sitting there, you just attacking somebody or, you know, just trying to make fun of them or stuff like that. That's how people are getting attention, is building off of somebody's already established and then latching on and trying to do some stuff to discredit them.
Right.
Versus, you know, like I'm saying, for me, I just come up with my music, you know, my craft, whatever like that. That's how I'm competing. I'm competing on a level of, you know, either I'm going to inspire you and say, hey man, I need to step my game up, or, you know what I mean? or you just gonna be like, man, that dude's a bad dude, like in a good sense, you know. But now I feel like everybody's gotta sit there and try to jab at somebody or pop some shots just to get on, because these
that's kind of society as a whole right now.
And for some reason, that's really prevalent in hip hop. It seems like everybody just wants to watch y'all fight. You know what I mean? Like, and it's one of the least interesting things about hip hop to me, actually, is rap battles. I mean, it can be. It can be really fun. It can be a great flex. But it, but like,
right.
Going back to what you were saying is like, you know, John is there's got. It's like without the acrobatics, it's hard to get people's attention. You know what I mean?
Right. And as far as the hip hop battle goes, there's I love watching when guys can go back and forth and just I don't want to take pot shots in a, you know, in a artistic way.
Yeah.
You know, and take that and respect each other for that. And that's why, yeah, I like some of the guys out here, you know, and even some of the bigger guys that do it. But, you know, and then like you said, with the acrobatics or, you know, the big, per, you know, performance.
I might implement your tactic.
What makes it unique is your unique filter, you know, like,
right. That's what I mean.
One of the things, one of the frustrating and fascinating things about being a quote unquote industrial artist, all right, is that it's the one genre that nobody seems to want to claim.
Yeah, because, that's true too.
Well,
that's
like, right. Because none of us actually really identify as it, and yet it's the easiest way to describe it. Because, well, what a lot of people don't realize is real industrial began and ended in the 1970s with Throbbing Gristle and Psychic TV and Industrial Records. That's
my boy.
That is the beginning and end of industrial music. Anything that came out after that is called industrial is called that inappropriately, and yet totally widespread. Right. The Wax Track stuff of the 1980s and 1990s. Now, admittedly, the Wax Track stuff is the stuff that influenced me, not industrial music. Right. Ministry, Skinny Puppy. And then, yes, eventually Nine Inch Nails and the likes of that. Right. None of those artists consider themselves industrial. Nine Inch Nails did not identify as industrial. Neither did Ministry. Neither did Skinny Puppy. None of them did. But they all got called that. It's funny because it's like we all kind of like just went. I think there was some point in the early 2000s where we all just kind of went, okay, fine, we're industrial, just because shut up. You know what I mean? Just, fine, we're industrial. You know,
Two Dead Roses out here. That's what the first time I said it to the guitar player played bass for me at a thing. And when I said, oh, your band's industrial. Oh, no, we're not industrial. And now he's like, yeah, we're industrial.
Yeah, we're industrial. Fine. Will it get us a gig? Will you give me a page? Then we're fine. We're industrial polka. Call us whatever you want. Just book it. God, I'm tired of it.
Hey, gentlemen. So I'm looking at the timer at the top. If you were meeting the devil at the crossroads because there was something you wanted musically, what would you sell your soul for? So in other words, what is there about music that you really need to have?
Someone else go first.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you right now, I don't have to sell my soul. You know what I mean? I think I'm good enough that the devil would be a fan. That I wouldn't have to sell my soul.
I like that.
I like it.
You know what I mean? My stuff came natural. I asked for it. You know, I asked the universe for it, and God bless whether people believe in a higher power or not. You know what I mean? That's another story. But I know that, you know what I mean? I feel like I'm good enough that I can make the devil a fan.
I like it.
He would just give me things.
I like that.
I don't got to sell my soul.
So now your super fan that we were talking about earlier is the devil.
Right. I mean, you ask him, what can he do for me? I don't, there's really nothing I need, like, other than you just appreciate my music, you know, and support it. I don't ask for much other than that. You just appreciate my music and support it.
No more. I love that answer, and I don't have to follow it, but you two do.
No more, no less, man. That's why I keep doing what I'm doing. I love what I do. I just want people to love it back and support and appreciate it. It's art.
I struggle to come up with a different answer, honestly.
Because that was a great answer.
It is a great answer, and I mean, before he said that, I was sitting there thinking, like, God, I have no idea. I mean, I think if I had, because if I think if I had the answer, the ultimate thing that you would sell your soul for musically, it would completely obliterate the need to continue on the journey of being a musician, you know, because I think I think the journey of being a musician is based on, you're always on the path. The path never ends, but every step you take, you get more knowledge. And that's the beautiful thing about it, is you're never going to run out. You're never going to end. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I think that.
That kind of sounded like boy band lyrics there.
Yeah, that's deep. Well, but like, yeah, I mean, I would almost, and that's, of course, that would be apropos of the devil. Seems like the ultimate prize, and it's actually the greatest curse for a musician. Now you got no reason to keep going. That's the worst thing you could do to us, yeah, you know?
I think I wouldn't be selfish with it. If that was the option, I would trade my soul to give music back to what it originally was. To, you know, for the expression, for the, as you said, for people to actually treat it like, you know, an expression and not so much a business. And when, there is a business to it, and there needs to be a business to it, but it's become so evil beyond.
Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters are known for bringing people up out of the stands and letting them perform with them. And what I want to know is, what artists would you like to go up on stage and perform with? And is there a song in particular that you would like to perform?
You know, I've actually gotten to perform with one of my favorite bands. And it was the band Pigface, who Trent Reznor used to be a member of way, way, way back in the day. And it was the song he wrote with them, Suck, which was later remade into a Nine Inch Nails song. But I got to sing that on stage with them because one of their guitar players on that tour, Christoph from the band Bile, was somebody I knew. So he pulled me on stage and gave me his mic. And even though Trent Reznor himself wasn't on stage, the fact that I was singing a song he wrote with people that were behind me was kind of dope. So that almost hits that mark. But beyond that, that's going to be almost like that. That's the DeLorean question. That's going to change day to day, hour to hour. That's tough, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm going to throw that pig face story out there because I can't think of anything better to say. Right? That was a pretty cool moment. I don't know. It would be hard to beat that. So,
be honest with you, like, unless we have a song together, like, if I'm at your show, I'm there for you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm there. You know, I'm the reason I'm there is because I support the music. You know what I mean? I really, you know what I mean? Unless we got a song together, because I'm an artist too. Like, I'm not, you know, I don't know. It, you know, I've never been in that situation. And then it's like, I'm there to enjoy the show. You know what I mean?
Maybe that's my in. We can tell Dave that he can write a song with Jay.
I would, you know.
I would honestly really like to hear that.
Yeah, it'd be different. You know what I'm saying? So,
I'm fans of them both, though. Let's go. Let's get it. It could be like one of those mashups that really works.
The Foo Fighters have definitely been, you know, taking a lot of chances. Their last album
stuff was awesome.
Yeah.
They're a great band.
I would have to say, first and foremost, I would love to do something with Willie Nelson. You know,
and then go up on stage and perform with him.
Yeah. I'd smoke, definitely smoke. Dude, who are you talking to?
You gotta smoke with Willie, dude.
I seen that article, you say you don't smoke no more.
I would love to do like Seven Spanish Angels with them, or something like that. But as far as like within my own genre, as you see, I worship at the ground of Dimebag Darrell, and when he passed, that really hit me hard.
Yeah, dude, hell yeah, absolutely.
I got to meet Vinny when I was in Vegas, and I probably drove him nuts because I just kept talking to him and talking to him and talking to him like I normally do. Pantera, I always say, when I first started, I wanted to be Rob Halford, Jeff Tate. You know, I'm a tenor two vocalist, actually. Yeah. But, you know, Pantera came out and that ruined my career because it was like, oh, man, you can scream and you can sing clear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, then, yeah. That was the big band for me, too. Definitely.
I've met Phil. I don't think me and him would do well together on stage because my ego is almost as big as his. So, there'd be, you know, there'd be some issue. And I've seen Phil punch somebody in the face 5 feet from me, and I'm good. Don't get me wrong. I run my mouth all day long, but man, you punch me in the face, I'm pretty, yeah. I'm good. But, you know.
I hear he's mellowed out in his old age, but I don't know.
The last one, I got to see him.
We're at an hour and 27 minutes. You guys are going to kill my show because we're going to hit a 4-hour mark. And I'm like, nope, I'm done.
It's your fault. You keep asking questions.
Well, real quick, I
know. He has calmed down a lot, and he has come to a lot of things when I talked to him last, when I got to see him. But, you know, what, he's still the same guy. Yeah, he's still the bulldog. You know, when he hits the stage, it's on. That's his stage. Yeah. And that's my attitude.
This has been episode 583 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. We featured members of First Angel Media, and then John American Hill Jack Lane joined us and talked about the early stages of FAM. And if you're interested in checking out First Angel Media, it's firstangelmedia.com. And all over the social media is First Angel Media. My name is Bill. I think I said that already. Episode 583. We will catch you next week. John, you want to do the outro live this time?
Oh, man. You put me on the spot.
I know. I love it.
You've been listening to the PA Rock Show from Bill Damiano on First Angel Media. Podcast your scene as well as build your scene. You keep coming back because it only gets better, and you keep staying pro, positive, real, and original.